haven't taken the chance to sign the attendance pad this morning, please take a moment to do so. Just a couple of announcements to highlight. The altar flowers today are from Paul and Karen Ladd. Please join me in congratulating them on 39th anniversary, which was yesterday. Congratulations. Today is the first day of our Sunday school year and rally day, and we welcome everybody to a potluck and bingo following worship. If you don't have something to contribute, that's fine. I was in there this morning. There looks to be plenty of food. So please join us if you would like to. Also, the youth group fundraiser this year, they went to on the mission trip this summer, and they were quite taken back that there was another church group there, youth group, that had shirts, and we did not have shirts. And so it was their idea to come up with selling shirts or church merch. And Evelyn Kerner designed the shirts, and they're very excited to be selling those this year as our fundraiser. So if you will be selling them this week and next week and then probably on Youth Sundays until we get rid of them all. So if you would like to buy a shirt, that would be great to support us. Some other announcements. This week on Tuesday, there is a church council meeting at 7 p.m. and the youth group is also volunteering at the food pantry on Wednesday night. Youth can get there around 5:15. The stewardship program this year will include small group gatherings at various times and locations beginning October 7th. The gatherings will be times to renew friendships, meet people, strengthen relationships, and talk about our ministry together. There's sign-up sheets located in Fellowship Hall for the various times and dates. Please consider signing up for one of them when you get a chance. Are there any other announcements today? Okay, then let's stand, please, if you are able, and join us in singing our opening song, Cry of My Heart, number 2165 in the Black Hymnal. Join me in our praise. Raise your voices. Make a beautiful noise to the eternal God, all the earth.
Serve the eternal God gladly. Enter into God's presence singing songs of joy.
Know this, the eternal one is the true God.
God is the one who made us. We have not made ourselves. We are God's people, like sheep grazing in the fields.
Go through God's gates, giving thanks. Walk through God's courts, giving praise.
We offer God our gratitude and praise God's holy name.
Please join in singing, Lord, we come to ask your blessing, number 2230 in the Black Hymnal.
Yeah.
join me in the prayer that's printed in the bulletin. Eternal God, enlighten our minds with truth, inflame our hearts with love, inspire our will with courage, enrich our lives with service, pardon what we have been, sanctify what we are, and order what we shall be. Amen.
You may be seated, and I'd like to invite you to join in 2233, Where Children Belong. Let's sing this twice as the young children come up to the front of the church. And I know that some of you are too old to be children, but if you are in sixth grade or under, please come up. Good morning. Am I on? Yep. Okay. Well, we're going to start a new kind of prayer in our church today, and we're just going to keep on doing this, hopefully forever. I don't know if you were here a few weeks ago. I told a story about a church that wanted to, people who wanted to pray, and they decided to pray. They would take turns praying, so for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 30 or 31 days a month, or 28 days a month, yep. And sometimes 29 then, right? Okay, so they decided that they prayed, and they did it for a month. Someone from that church was praying 24/7 for 30 or 31 days. And at the end of that time, and the reason that they prayed was because they were kind of arguing about things, and they didn't want to be an arguing people. So they decided that prayer was how they were going to ask God to work in them so they weren't fighting with one another. They did it for 30 days, and you know what? It made a difference. And so they decided, let's do it for 6 months. Someone from that church praying 24/7 every single day for 6 months. And you know what? Other people watched how they treated one another, and so other people started coming to their church. They wanted to be a part of them. And so then they decided that they would just keep on doing it for a while. And they prayed nonstop for over 100 years. This happened in Germany a long time ago. But they started, when people would come to the church, they felt like God wanted them to do something more, so they sent out missionaries to different places. They even at some point sent missionaries to the United States, because all the people in the United States haven't heard about that God loves us. Okay, so what they learned is that prayer really makes a difference in people's lives. So we want to do that as well. We believe prayer makes a difference. So we're going to ask everyone to pray at 5:55. If you're up at 5:55 in the morning, we want you to pray then. If you're not up then, I'm sure you're going to be awake at 5:55 in the evening. So we want people to pray then, all right? And we thought that some of you might want a shorter prayer than that we're praying. And if you want the prayer that everyone else is praying, feel free to take it. but we wanted you each to have one of these. Okay? And if you look at the 555, there's something in the middle of the five. What is that? An eight. Why do you suppose we put an eight in there? Do you know what the address of our church is? 585 Fifth Street. That's why the eight's in there. And we wanted it to look like it was a colon. Okay? That's why we did that. And so what I would like right now is if you all would pray this prayer. Dear God, thank you, God. We're reading it together. Thank you, God, for always being with us. Help us to remember that when we are afraid, that you love us. Help us to know the right thing to do. Give us courage to make good choices and help us to be loving. Amen. Thank you. And if you have some place that you know that you're going to be at 5:55 every day, just leave a copy of it wherever it is that you're going to be. A lot of people eat around that time. So you might say that prayer during during dinner. I don't know what works for you, but we're going to ask everyone to do this and see what God is going to make happen here. All right? Okay. You all can go sit down, except for Addie, and I'm going to ask Court and Layla to come on up. You all can go sit down. Thank you. Yes, take those. That's for you to keep. We have one third grader this year. And so we want to give you this Bible, and we hope that you're going to read it. And sometimes people use this to help them read better. You know, if you read, the more you read, the better you get at reading, okay? So what I would suggest is that when you take this, you might find some time to ask Dad and Mom if they would listen to you, or sometimes if they would read to you, okay? I think that they will have a good idea of the kinds of things that would be helpful to you to read. Like, I'm guessing they're not going to pick Leviticus or Numbers, because Leviticus is a bunch of rules, and Numbers is just that, numbers, okay? So they probably won't pick that one. But they'll find something. You all can find something together that you can share reading. Let's pray for Addie and encourage us, O God, with the help of your Holy Spirit. Encourage all of us to use these sacred writings for our prayer and inspiration, for the increase of our faith and devotion, and for the building up of your kingdom. Through your word, may Addie and all of us be transformed into the likeness of Christ, who lives and reigns with you forever and ever. Amen. Thank you. We want to also recognize our Sunday school leaders. And you know how I always have y'all come up to the front? I'm not going to do that today. But you may have to move a little bit. When we confirm people and baptize people, we lay hands on them. So I'm going to ask our leaders and teachers to stand where they are. And I'm asking you to, to move so that there's people around, so people can lay hands on you as we say our prayer together. For the CARES class, Bruce Cook and John Budd are the teachers, and I'm going to ask you to stand and stay standing. For the Doubting Thomas class, Roger and Jan Cole, and Doug and Barb Holtberg. For the junior and senior high, Layla Drescher, For the 4K through first, Scott Allier and Irene DeVoe. Second and third grade teacher is Lisa Wenzel, and she was not able to be here for worship today. But and fourth and fifth grade is Sue Evans, and Sue Evans is not able to be here today because she had her knee replaced, and we have very few people who make it to church the first Sunday after they've had a knee replaced. So Leslie Cook and Sarah Koenig are her substitute teachers. The Acts class is Jeff Virchow and Tom Andres. And our music leaders are Annie Mock and Maria Andres. So I'm going to ask someone to move closer to Annie. And some, okay, there's enough near you. Someone move closer to Barb and Jan. Okay. And a laying out of hands can be a hand on the shoulder, a hand on the head. Some people don't like their hair touched. But you may need to stand around them to do that. Okay. Let us pray for these teachers and leaders who have answered the call. We thank you, God, for these teachers. We thank you for a good curriculum. We thank you for creativity and patience in the learning process. Our teachers have helped us all to learn, help learn to know you and learn about you. So we ask your blessings on them. Infuse them and all of us with an eagerness to dwell in you and your word, to seek and find you in our daily lives and in all of our experiences where you await us throughout this year. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The first thing I want you to do is pray. Pray every way you know how for everyone you know. Pray especially for rulers and their governments to rule well so we can be quietly about our business of living simply in humble contemplation. This is the way our Savior God wants us to live. God wants not only us but everyone saved, you know, everyone to get to know the truth we've learned. That there's one God and only one, and one mediator between God and us, Jesus, who offered himself in exchange for everyone held captive by sin to let them free. Eventually, the news is going to get out. This and only this has been my appointed work, getting the news to those who have never heard of God and explaining how it works by simple faith and plain truth.
Children pray. world has never known. When the people of the Lord get down to pray, a door's gonna swing open, and the walls come a tumbling down. When the people of the Lord get down to pray. Oh, children, let's go.
The gospel reading today is from Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. Jesus teaches about prayer. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples spoke to him. Lord, he said, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. Jesus said to them, when you pray, this is what you should say. Father, may your name be honored. May your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sin, for we also forgive everyone who has wronged us. Keep us from falling into sin when we are tempted.
I didn't give the young people a chance to say yes or no. What I said to them was, we believe that prayer makes a difference. Sue Nilsson Kibbe has been called by the bishop in the West Ohio Conference to lead a prayer initiative for the churches, the United Methodist churches there. And several of us were introduced to that at the end of June this summer. And one of the things she says when she begins is, do you believe that prayer makes a difference? And so I want to ask you, do you believe that prayer makes a difference?
Yes.
Do you really believe that prayer makes a difference? If we believe, she says this, if we believe that prayer makes a difference, and we ask ourselves, are you a church that feasts on prayer, or are you a church that fasts on prayer? What is our answer? Are we fasters or feasters? Some of us are feasters, think feasters. I don't want to, some of us would think that we are fasters. There's both there. And so we are being invited to become feasters on prayer. When I was at annual conference, I bought 15 copies of a book called Floodgates, and it's a process that helps us to become a fearless church, because most churches are very fearful in this time. We're fearful because we see the numbers who are in worship declining. And when we look around, we see that there's a lot of people, more people with gray hair than not gray hair. And so we are become afraid that there's not a future. And we are being invited to become fearless in our prayer. I think it was in the last newsletter I printed part of what the church council has been working on this past year, and we have what we called we are called and what we believe, and we believe that we live a life of faith. We believe that we need to continue to grow as disciples of Jesus. We believe that we need to celebrate community and what God has given to us in this place, and we believe that we are called to service. And based on those core beliefs, and we hope that you all will agree with them, based on those, we created a vision of what this church can look like, what this faith community can look like. And so that was the second part of what was listed in the newsletter. And I'm not going to go through that because time constraints. And from that, as we walked through this, we realized that we have a mission statement that is true yet today and that is strong. And so our mission is, as a witness to Christ in our community, we are committed to spiritual growth and service. And that continues. And that's with those core beliefs, with the vision and with our mission, we want to be bold in what we envision for this church. We want, and so then I, in the newsletter article, I also put some things that seemed kind of ridiculous, like the United Methodist Women were going to support local missions with $200,000. It seems ridiculous. It doesn't seem possible. But those are the kinds of things that we dreamed when the committee, the council, was doing its work. So if you go back and look at some of those, they seem impossible. But I believe, and I know that we believe, that nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible. In all things, God is working good for those who love the Lord. So I bought copies of this book and I handed them out. And if you've already read yours, pass them on to someone else who might want to read it. It's we're going to be working our way through that. Susan Nielsen Kibbe says that we are already praying people. We pray at the beginning of our worship service. We pray a pastoral prayer. We have a benediction, a prayer at the end of the service. We pray in our homes. We pray before meals. We teach our children to pray before they go to bed at night. And our younger people have learned that if they haven't done their homework, they can pray that God, that pray to God that the teacher doesn't call on them that day, right? I was stopped by a police officer last week, and I knew I wasn't speeding. And people had mentioned that I had a taillight out on my car. And I just, even though they said it, I wasn't sure that it was against the law to do that, to leave it that way. But the police officer reminded me that, yes, I do need to do something about that light. Going to be taken care of tomorrow. But I prayed. We believe in the power of prayer. And we want to challenge ourselves. Were any of you listening when I was talking to the kids this morning? Okay, then I don't need to repeat the part about the 5:55 praying. Okay. Prayer is a continual central part of who we are. I wonder sometimes when I hear us talk about the number, the lower numbers of people in worship, when we think about the reality that we have had 7 deaths in this congregation this year. 7 deaths. And people who had, through their lives, been leaders in this congregation. That's significant. We're going to pray, inviting God's Holy Spirit to come upon this place so that we can dream more boldly. And even people who winter in the South can pray at 5:55 every day, morning or night, pray. There's a video related to the Breakthrough Prayer Initiative that has... For one church, they have the 628, because that's the address of their church. So 628, they pray every day, or 228, or whatever. But anyway, they have people. Someone's in the grocery store shopping. Someone's out playing golf. Someone else is laying grass for their lawn. People are. Youth group is practicing their band and music, variety of things that people are doing, and they have their alarm set to go off at 2:28, and everyone stops and reads the prayer that you were given this morning. And that's what we're going to ask you to do. Now, in addition to that, the Disciple Bible Study group and the various committees in the church have been praying this prayer throughout the summer. When the committees get together, we have been doing prayer walks. We have some prayer walks are just into the sanctuary. We touch the lectern, we lay hands on the pulpit, we touch the piano, and pray that prayer. Sometimes we have gone down to the Sunday school rooms and prayed there. Another of those videos talks about a new youth pastor who came in, and he just felt God calling him to pray as he walked from his office to where the youth room was. And he went in and he prayed over every chair, that God would fill that chair with someone who needs to know that God loves them. And he set the chairs up in a circle, and that first Sunday, every chair was filled. So he thought he was going to do a little bit of testing. So the next Sunday, he added another chair. And every chair was filled as they prayed, and every chair was filled. Now, that seems like he was testing God, and I don't know that we want to test God too much. But we believe that prayer makes a difference in our lives, in our church, in our communities. So we are going to be invited to pray. We're going to sing a song, but not quite yet. We're going to sing We Are Marching, and I think I've got the words walking and praying to sing those verses with those. And what we are asking you to do, asking us to do this morning, is take those post-it notes that you received in your bulletin this morning. You each received four. And we are going to sing, we are praying in the light of God, and then we're going to sing, we are walking in the light of God, and when we start walking, we're going to walk. We're going to walk to any place in the church that we feel God is directing us. We're going to take our prayer with us. We're going to put our post-it notes on the door of the office. We're going to put our post-it notes on chairs in the fellowship hall or tables in the downstairs in the Sunday school rooms. We're going to do this, and we're limiting you to four places. That's why you've only got four post-it notes for today. We're going to do this. We're going to and read the prayer that you received. For those who have difficulty with mobility, I'm going to have someone stay here in the sanctuary, and you tell that someone where you want that post-it note placed, and then you can pray while that post-it note is being put there. Thank you. Okay, we're going to be singing. We are praying in the light of God. We're going to sing that. Then we're going to sing, we are walking in the light of God. Okay? And as we are singing, we're walking, we're going to start walking to wherever it is to do our prayers. And you'll be doing four of them. Just prayer walking is what this is called. And then when we start coming back, I'm going to ask Cindy to... Yes, when, oh, never mind. Just come back and we'll have our prayer. We're going to sing We Are Marching at the end of the service. I didn't all of a sudden, okay? Does everyone understand? You're going to move through this church and put those post-it notes there and pray that God's Holy Spirit will fill this place with possibilities and fearlessness. Okay. We pray in the light of God. We are praying in the light of God. We are praying in the light of God. We are praying in the light of God. We are praying. We are praying. Oh, we are praying in the light of God. We are praying, we are praying, oh, we are praying in the light of God. We are walking in the light of God. We are walking in the light of God. Did you get one of these? Okay, go. There's one in the back. You get one, and you can go pray someplace for them. We are praying the light of God. We are walking in the light of God. We are walking. We are walking. Oh, we are walking in the light of God.
So now when people start coming back in, just play that while people are coming in.
Okay,
but not now. Wait till people come in. Yeah. Okay. Do me like,
Would you like to pray?
No.
Okay. All right. Sure. Paul, is there some place you'd like me to put? Is there some place you'd like me to put one? Oh, okay. All right. Okay. I'm going to ask Tony not to pick all of these up. I'm going to ask that they remain where they are. Because prayers are answered. And we want to be reminded of that for which we prayed, that over which we prayed. If you would give me a moment of privilege. Bruce, I didn't ask you this. Would you share your story of the God presence with us?
Well, it's really kind of a long story.
Shorten it.
I've never told you that.
Yes, you have.
Her memory is better than I was. Okay. For many years, we've been going to children's services in Milwaukee. And we've had the privilege of showering at a number of different places over the years. The last few years, we've been able to shower at the children's services facilities because they've had empty apartments. Well, this year they're full, which is good for them. So I was trying to find a place for us to shower on our volunteers and mission trip. And we had somewhere around 30 people that'll be doing that. So I had a couple of calls out, hadn't had any success particularly. And one day I was in the office, and Layla mentioned that her group would like to use the Princeton Club on their half day off. And the light came on that maybe I needed to check there. So I did, and through back and forthing with some emails and stuff, we made an agreement that for $5 a person, we could shower, but at the Princeton Club in Milwaukee, but not between 4:30 and 7. So we all did that for the 4 days, and the group went and had their half day off there. And so we have to have a water softener in the facility for our new dishwasher. I've been supposed to get a bid on that for a while, haven't. A few weeks ago, Pat Yonke suggested I check into this new company in town called Saltco. And so I hadn't done that either. So a week ago Thursday, not having been billed yet from the gal at the Princeton Club, I sent her an email asking if I was supposed to check in and give you the numbers so they would jive with hers, or was she going to bill me at the end of the month? It was a $455 thing. And I hadn't heard from her because I sent the email, and I said, okay, I'm going down to tend to this water softener business. I went down there and at Saltco, walked in, here's two people. And I talked to the one fellow, asked him what their company did. He explained it, and I said, well, for our church, we need to get a water softener, and it sounds like your service might fit. He said, well, let me show you how we do this. And he stood up and he said, I'm a believer. I said, that's good. So we had a little conversation. He was showing me the process that they've created. He said, this is a new company that we've started, and it's really going well. They're in quite a few hundred places already. And he says, by the way, I own all the Princeton clubs. And I said, what? And so we had a little chat, and I told him this little story about the volunteers and mission being able to shower there, and we did enjoy it. And he said, well, you know that other guy in the other room? I said, yes. He said, well, he comes to me from Milwaukee. He's the general manager there. He comes once a month for about an hour, and he's here this right now for our meeting. So he said, we're going to go in the other room, you tell him your story, and we're going to take care of that bill. So we went in the other room, told him the story, he got on his little phone, and the bill was eliminated, and we were comped out for our use, invited back next year, and we were able to send that much more to Children's Services. So through the whole process, I'm not sure of the final numbers, Jeff, but I think it was somewhere around $3,100 that we were able to send to Children's Services through our volunteers and mission registrations, and they're complimenting us. So that doesn't just happen coincidentally.
It is ministries such as these that we support with our giving. I invite the ushers to come forward.
Thank you.
Let us pray together for the blessings of this and all our days. We thank you, gracious God. Accept, we pray, the gifts we bring and our lives freely offered in gratitude for all you have given us. Use them both in this place and wherever you may take us. Amen. You may be seated. We want to lift up for prayer. Gordon Davis is in the hospital here in this community, and he's going to, I believe, be having his gallbladder removed. If you've had gallbladder problems, you might understand the pain that he's been in for the last few days. So that I think is going to be taken care of tomorrow. We have a prayer request for Rita Selden. She's a family friend of Layla's, the Dreschers, and has been diagnosed with breast cancer. And we want to keep in our prayers the people who are living or have survived the flooding in this part of the state, as well as the Wesley Church in Marshfield was totally destroyed by fire last Sunday. So are there other people that you want to lift? Yes.
My daughter-in-law's mom, Sheila, had a major stroke this week, and it's going to be a long haul.
Okay.
She's still in ICU.
Okay. I heard, yes. Oh, thank you, Verlin. Yes. Verlin gave me a note before worship. And did anyone see a white card on the floor? Huh? Okay. All right. Let us pray. O God, as we do cast our cares upon you, we recognize that we are in your presence to listen for you and to discern your word for each one of us. We want to respond to the spirit that's moving among us and within us, and so we ask that you would keep us attentive to your voice. Help us quickly perceive when you call on our lives in the events and the people with whom we share our lives. We hear how vital prayer is in the stories of Jesus. We hear how necessary it is for our individual souls to be in a relationship and to continue in that relationship through prayer. Hear us this morning as we pray for Rita and Sheila and Gordon as they receive the medical care. Hear our prayer, the prayers of those of us who pray silently for healing and for wholeness. Hear our prayer for those whose are lost due to the flooding and the challenges that they face, and hear our prayer for the Wesley Church as they face the challenges ahead of them. You are the giver of life, and it is you who gives us healing and wholeness. But we need but trust in your grace, in your goodness. Help us to create healing through our words, through our calls, through our touch. Use us. In your kingdom and for your kingdom, we pray as Jesus taught us. Would you turn again to We Are Marching, number 2235B. And we will be singing. We are singing and then marching following the benediction. The Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are unselfish and considerate in all you do. The Lord is near. Don't be anxious about anything. Rather, bring up all of your requests to God in your prayers, your petitions, along with giving thanks. Then the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds safe in Christ. Go in that peace. Amen.